This is Malone Church Podcast, and I'm the Reverend Catherine Viner. And we're a church who are committed to being rooted and grounded in love, living and growing together. You can connect in with what we're doing on YouTube or Facebook and find any information on our website. But what you're going to listen to now is a Bible reading followed by a sermon and then concluding with a prayer.
The reading we're about to hear is taken from the book of Nehemiah. Over these past few months since September, we have been going through a series called Confidence in God and learning from the book of Nehemiah how we can be confident in God. In this passage you're about to hear, it describes the elders of the community in Jerusalem reading God's word. And as they read God's word, they realize that they had neglected to observe a long-established custom that could enrich and improve their relationship with God. The custom was known as the Festival of Tabernacles or Festival of Booths. And Barbara is going to read this passage from Nehemiah chapter 8 now.
Nehemiah chapter 8, verses 13 to 18. On the second day, the heads of fathers' houses of all the people, with the priests and the Levites, came together to Ezra the scribe in order to study the words of the law. And they had found it written in the law that the Lord had commanded by Moses that the people of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should proclaim it and publish it in all their towns and in Jerusalem. Go out to the hills and bring branches of olive, wild olive, myrtle, palm, and other leafy trees to make booths as it is written. So the people went out and brought them and made booths for themselves, each on his roof and in their courts and in the courts of the house of God, and in the square at the water gate, and in the square at the gate of Ephraim. And all the assembly of those who had returned from the captivity made booths and lived in the booths. For from the days of Jeshua, the son of Nun, to that day, the people of Israel had not done so, and there was very great rejoicing. And day by day, from the first day to the last day, he read from the book of the law of God. They kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day, there was a solemn assembly according to the rule.
One of the things I missed in the weeks after Christmas and around New Year was the opportunity to get together with friends who live in England or Scotland and have returned back to Northern Ireland to spend Christmas and New Year with family. And on these occasions, whenever I meet these friends, and I'm sure you're the same, we remember and we reminisce. We tell stories like, do you remember that time in geography with Mr. Kenny? Or do you remember the night we went out to celebrate after our GCSE exams? Or do you remember the time we went up camping to Portrush and I forgot the pegs and inevitably there was a storm that night and our tent nearly blew away? When we meet with friends, we remember, we reminisce. And in remembering events and experiences, in reminiscing about previous times, we remind ourselves how good our friendship is. We remember how long it has lasted. And we feel known, and we feel loved, and we feel cared for in the company of those friends. living through the impact of COVID-19, homeschooling, self-isolation, travel restrictions. Many of us are feeling the impact of social isolation. There's a culture of fear and anxiety as people wait for vaccines, wait to see the impact and effect of the Brexit agreement, wait for the outcome of cancelled tests or exams, wait to see family and friends. Many of us are feeling at sea, lost in the storm of these circumstances. We need to know that we are known and we are loved and we are cared for. In the book of Nehemiah, the Jews living in Jerusalem and Judea felt isolated and insignificant within the vast Persian Empire. They felt confined and restricted by their limited resources and power and allies. They felt threatened by neighboring nations who were their enemies. They often expressed their fear and anxiety to Nehemiah. You can read it there in the book of Nehemiah. And they too needed to feel known and loved and cared for. The Festival of Booths was a reminder that we are known and loved and cared for by God. The Festival of Booths was an ancient custom to remember God's provision and God's protection when their forefathers, the Israelites, left Egypt and journeyed through the wilderness. During those long years, they lived in booths, in tents, simple tents made from leaves and branches that they foraged for in the wilderness. They made their way through this dangerous desert, facing all sorts of natural dangers, such as the intense heat during the day or the bitter cold at night, sandstorms, drought, disease, as well as wild animals and bandits who threatened their safety. But through it all, the Lord brought them safely to the land he promised to give them. Amid the pressures of new challenges in Canaan, they easily forgot what God had done for them. Distracted, preoccupied by the demands of their new normal, they could too easily forget who God is and what he's done for them in the wilderness and helping them to settle into their new country. So the Festival of Booths was established as 1 week each year when they would move out of the comfort of their homes, sleep in a tent, and declare once again that their confidence was in God and not in buildings or fortified walls or anything made by man. Their confidence was in God. They reminisced about how God in the past guided, fed, and protected their forefathers. Such goodness and power must never be forgotten. And so they celebrated this Festival of Booths. But over time, that festival became less and less of what it was meant to be. As they slept in their tents outside, just as their forefathers had done in the wilderness, they were to remember that they were known and loved and valued by God. We can easily forget what God has done for us. We can be distracted and be preoccupied by the new normal today, the presence of disease and sickness, the wait for vaccinations, limited resources in the NHS, demands of homeschooling and work, difficult decisions that many of us have to make, financial pressures. We too can become more concerned about what we want God to do now and forget what he's already done for us. Each day we need to deliberately recall the goodness of God to us. It may be as simple as just writing down our thankfulness to God for what he has done in the past. We can recall and remember, reminisce about his presence with us and what it meant to us in that moment, whatever it may have been. Forgetfulness, you see, is at the root of a great deal of discontent and doubt in our relationships. We forget what someone has done for us, who they have been for us. And we do the same with God. When we give time in our day to reminisce and remember what God has done already, like the Jews taking the time to sleep under the stars in their booths and their tents, we allow ourselves to become more aware that we are known and loved and cared for by God, deeply valued by him. Let's take a moment now to remember what God has done for us. Nehemiah's day, these temporary booths, these tents, were built in different places. We're told in verse 16 they were constructed on top of their flat roofs, in their courtyards. One was built in the temple and another in the middle of the square by the water gate and the gate of Ephraim. Traders and travelers who visited Judea and Jerusalem must have asked about these tents. We know that there were traders who came down from the northern coastal region of Tyre to sell their fish and their wares. Tyre is known today as Lebanon. And they had a permanent base in Jerusalem where they traded their fish. Anyone in Jerusalem or Judea coming during the festival of booths must have asked, why are you living in a tent? What are you doing? Why are you doing this? It was an amazing opportunity for God's people to tell about God. At home, in their neighborhood, at worship together, at work, their tents, these outward outworkings of their faith, were conversation starters. We have so many opportunities at the moment in the situation and the circumstances we are living in for conversation starters. By simply talking about watching church and being part of church on YouTube and describing what it's like, or posting something related to our Christian faith on social media, maybe a link to a podcast or a worship song, or simply asking someone in the midst of everything going on, how can I pray for you? I hear what you're saying about the stresses of homeschooling. I hear what you're saying about waiting for medical treatment that's been delayed again. I hear how you have anxiety and there's a lot going on in your family. I hear about your demands at work. How can I pray for you? We can text, we can message, or simply post a card or letter with a few words saying that we are remembering somebody, and maybe a scripture reading, a scripture verse included that encourages them. Or sharing our amazement and joy at the beauty of God's creation after being out for a walk. But also how we choose to live is an outworking of our faith. Being openly thankful, being openly hopeful, being openly generous, being openly respectful in our relationships with others, being openly reliant upon God in these times, unashamedly trusting in God. I believe we're living in a unique moment when the church has left the building. And like the Jews who've left their houses to live in these temporary booths, these tents, we've left the familiar surroundings of this church building that I'm standing in now. And we're out in our neighborhoods. We're out in our communities, in our streets, in our new working and living environment. Our faith is out in the open, exposed to the elements of fear and anxiety and doubts. But being hopeful and having peace and seeking the truth as we live in these moments. This is a moment of testing in our relationship with God. We will discover the strength, the quality of our relationship with God through this moment we're living in. And whether it can withstand these wilderness days like the Israelites after leaving Egypt. Where do you need to pitch your tent? Where do you need God to create a conversation starter? For you to enable your faith to be real and relevant in this moment. For an opportunity to give a reason for the hope you have within you. As we reflect now on where we find our temporary booth, where God has placed you to reveal and share your reliance upon Him for His protection and for His provision, Just as the Jews recommitted themselves to God during the festival of booths, let us now recommit as God's people, ready to openly live out our faith in this moment. Final thing I want to share with you from this passage in Nehemiah chapter 8 is that the Festival of Booths reminded God's people that although they had settled in Judea and Jerusalem, and they had homes and gardens and businesses, that they were still a pilgrim people. They were still on a journey that had not yet ended. And like their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they were always looking towards and looking for that better country, longing for it, a heavenly place. They knew there was something greater on the horizon that was yet to be seen and known. We can be led to believe in the dominant view of our culture today that our lives are the sum total of our years here on earth and what we manage to achieve in wealth and status and possessions. But as God's people, we hold to God's view. And in Ecclesiastes it says, God has planted eternity in every human heart. In every person, there is an inborn instinct that longs for the eternal. You have that longing within you. We were made by God to live forever. That is what that longing is. God revealed this truth through Jesus when he stepped out of the dark tomb, leaving behind his grave clothes, and the warmth of the sun touched his face, the face of the one who had risen from the dead. The dominant view of our culture may be that this life is all there is, but we know that there's something greater on the horizon yet to be seen and known by us. This doesn't mean, though, that we opt out of our present responsibilities, ignoring and disregarding this world we live in at present. Far from it, we want to tell people about this new kingdom, the forever home God has for us. Knowing we have an eternal home gives us a greater urgency to make known to everyone that because of Jesus, we have the promise of a new heaven and a new earth with new bodies that will no longer suffer and grow old and feel weary. The Bible calls our earthly body a tent, like the tents constructed during the Festival of Booths. And the Bible refers to our future eternal body as a house. The Bible says, when this tent we live in, our body here on earth, is torn down, God will have a house in heaven for us to live in, a home he has made himself, which will last forever. Paul wrote these words to the city of Corinth, describing this eternal home. And knowing we have an eternal home means we want to honour the God who has made this possible. C.S. Lewis said there are two kinds of people. Those who say to God, your will be done. And those to whom God says, okay, have it your way. Knowing we live and die before God, let's take every opportunity to honour God so we will use our God-given time, possessions, money wisely to reveal something of the goodness of God. We place a high value on relationships and character instead of popularity and status. Knowing God has prepared us for an eternal home, so we put our trust in God for this journey. As pilgrim people, looking to the horizon for something greater that is yet to be seen and known. So as I said earlier, the elders who we're told in Nehemiah 8 were reading God's word and read about how the Festival of Booths was to be celebrated, recognized that in doing this, their relationship with God would be enriched and would improve. The custom of the Festival of Booths, we don't observe it today, but we do value the truths it reveals to us to enrich and improve our relationship with God. So we must take time to remember and reminisce what God has done for us. To not forget his perfect track record. It's here in the Bible in black and white for us to read and discover and give thanks for. And we must take every opportunity in our homes, in our neighborhoods, together as a church family, in the public square, in our workplace, to thoughtfully and wisely share the faith we have in God. And finally, we must live as pilgrim people. A people who have a great hope, who know we have better days ahead as we trust in God, and a future that will last forever.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come into your presence this morning, we give thanks that you are our hope for this new year, 2021. Still our hearts, our souls, and our minds as we wait on you. All too often we bring to you our prayers and petitions, but we forget to still ourselves and listen for what you want to say to us. Father, we are aware that we need to have an honest conversation with you to help us grow and mature for you. In our busy lives, help us to take time to talk with you. In our church family life, may we take time to listen to our friends and to be there for them. We ask you, Lord, that at this time of lockdown, we will put others' interests before our own, that we can serve you by helping others. Your word tells us that your grace is sufficient for us. May we all pray for an increasing dependence on your sufficient grace. We would ask you, God, that you will help us to trust in you to provide for everything that you want our congregation to do. Lord, we are human and so we are weak. May we admit to you our frailties and weaknesses and ask you to help us to honestly address areas of church life that are not strong and show us your plan for these areas. As we learn to trust in you for our needs, may we remember, Lord, that it is you who is supplying the strength for us to serve you. Help us not to lean on our own gifts, skills, talents and abilities when serving you, but to depend on you to supply us with all that we require. Help us, Lord, to give thanks for all your blessings, for health and strength, for warm homes and good food, for family and friends. And we remember those who are not as fortunate as we are, and pray for our PCI mission workers who are serving you in third world countries. May they be used by you to help these people spiritually, educationally and physically. Keep them healthy and strengthen them in their daily walk as they serve you. We pray that charities such as Christian Aid, Tear Fund and Stand By Me, to mention just a few, may have sufficient funds to supply some of the needs of these our weaker brethren. At this time of restrictions, we give thanks for all those who continue to keep life as normal as possible. Special thanks to all teachers, some who are teaching their pupils at home by modern technology, for parents who are homeschooling their children during lockdown, and those who are at school teaching children of key workers. We pray for all NHS staff at this time. The stress and sheer tiredness of these workers is almost too much to bear. Please, Heavenly Father, give them all some respite from their labours and keep them free from the pandemic virus. We pray for a continuing decrease in numbers of those affected by the virus and pray that those in authority will listen to sound medical advice and that the vaccine will be given to all of this country and the whole world over the next months. We give thanks for all workers who have ensured that the shops, supermarkets and stores have sufficient supplies of food, medicines and other essential goods to provide us with all that we need. We give you thanks for the safe inauguration of President Biden, and we would ask that you will guide him over his presidency for the next 4 years. Help us as a church to consider very carefully the intention of returning to church in February. We pray that you will guide us in all the preparations that need to be made to ensure that all our church family will be safe when we return to worship together. Father, we thank you for all your loving kindness to us and would ask that these our prayers are made in and through the name of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
At the start of our time of worship, I read from Psalm 67. Let us close this time of worship together with these words from Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, that his way may be known on earth, his saving power among the nations. Let the people praise you, O God, Let all the peoples praise you.
Thank you for listening. And if you'd like further information, go to our website or connect with us on YouTube or Facebook. But in the meantime, stay safe and stay faithful.